Front Page Dramas present The Fugitive Fortune. This week's Front Page Drama, The Fugitive Fortune, is an original radio drama based upon a most unusual news story to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly, under the caption, Couldn't Hide His Money from the Wife He Hated. You will find this and many other interesting and timely news stories, articles, and feature fiction in every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine that is read by more people than any other publication in the world, and comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper. This is a story that, had it not been enacted in real life, might easily have been a masterpiece of short story writing by Chekhov, Tolstoy, Turgenev, or any of the master creators of the Russian style of fiction. Stanislaus and his wife settled in one of the Polish-American communities near Detroit, and he became a very good mechanic in one of the big auto plants. His wife Clara worked, too, in a big cafeteria, both before and after her baby came. They bought a house and amassed quite a tidy little fortune. Their daughter, Paula, grew up and showed considerable musical ability. A smoldering hatred existed between husband and wife. And one evening after dinner, the mother and daughter remained in the kitchen to talk.
But, Mother, you must talk to him. Talk to him tonight. If you don't, I will. After all, you've worked all your life, and I've worked for the last 3 years. Both of us have contributed plenty of money to the family savings, and we have a right to share in it.
Dada, I know all that, Paula. But remember, you have new ideas about things. Your father is still old-fashioned. Like the men in the old country.
I don't care about his old-fashioned ideas. I have my life to live, too. My piano teacher says this is my last chance. I turned 20. I can't go on working and trying to study my spare time. He says a talent like mine should be developed in one of the big conservatories, and I should devote all my time to practice and study. After all, we're not asking for anything that isn't rightfully ours. We earn the money. So why shouldn't we be able to get some of it when we need it? Why shouldn't we hoard it all up in some secret place in the future? Tell us where it is.
You're right, Paula, but your father has been sick. His heart is very bad, and the doctors say he must not get excited.
Oh, nonsense, Mother. He's still strong enough to work every day, and he eats like a horse. I think he's using that heart spell as a shield to hide behind.
No, you must not say such things. Your father is a sick man.
Then that's all the more reason why you should demand to know where the money is. What if he should die suddenly without telling you where he's hidden it?
Well, we would find it somehow, somewhere.
Oh, Mother, you make me so mad. Either you stand up to him and demand our rights, or I'll pack up tonight and leave this house and never come back.
No. No, Paula. You must not do that. No.
My mind is made up, Mother.
No. You're my own little girl. I love you so much. You are all I have in this world. You must not leave me.
I'm sorry, Mother. I love you, too. But I won't stand by and...
All right. I'll go now and talk with your father. Oh, but please, Paula. Only me alone talk to him. You be a good girl. Not make him mad. Just listen only.
All right, then. But come along, Mother. Speak to him now. I want this settled tonight. Stanislaus.
Are you awake? I want to talk to you.
I'm awake, all right. Don't worry about that. I was awake enough to hear what you two she-cats were talking about in the kitchen. I know what you want to talk about now, and I tell you, we're not going to do no talking about it.
But, Stanislaus, that's not the way to act. We have a right to talk about anything that would be good for our poor.
I'm the head of this house. And I'm the one to tell you what is good for you. This music business of Paula's is foolishness. Piano players, there is too many already. None of them good jobs yet. Better, Paula, forget that business. Settle down, work hard, bring home money so we have something. If I get too sick and not be able for to work.
But it's not right that way, Stanislaus. Paula's teachers say she'd be great piano player. Go to play in big concerts and make plenty money for
you
it.
You talk like a cabbage. You're wasting all our money to give to teachers and we have nothing. Better she stay home. Sometimes she find good men like Peter Grabowski, get married, have kids. That'd be best thing for girls.
But Paula not want to do that.
No.
She have her music. Anyway, we not ask for your money. We want what we give you for to put in bank. We earn that. It be our money. Some is mine. I give that to Paula. Some be hers, which she makes. Why not you let us take that?
You take nothing. Understand that? Nothing. All money be mine. Only I know where money is. I put it away where you can get it. You don't get one right cent from that money.
Oh, Stanislaus, why you act like that?
Why you act like
it's
that?
It's not the good. It's the all our money. What happen if you get real sick and die? We not know where you put money.
That'd be very good joke on you then. Only me, myself, Stanislaus Panensky, know where the money. I not tell for no one. If I die, that'd be good. Nobody get money.
Why do you treat it like this? You're the most selfish
unnatural fool. Paula, Paula, no, no, you promised.
Let her talk, let her talk. Let her ask me why for I do this to you. Good, then I tell you. I hate you like everything. Why, huh? Why? Because for what you do for me 3 years ago. Die, we make trip back to our country. Go back to our village where I find good farm. I want for you to buy farm, stay in our country, but no, no, you and Paula, you not want to do that. Cry, make lots of big scenes. Say, run away, not work on farm.
And we were right. We're Americans.
You want us, Paula, stop. You mixed up of mad.
I won't stop. I'll tell him why we refused to stay where everyone was living in fear and poverty. He wanted to buy the farm and settle down, yes, and deprive us of all our rights. Work us from sunup to sundown, struggling to eat out a living of the soil, and he'd stand over and drive us like work animals. He would have loved that.
So you fight me, huh? Not let me buy farm. Stay home in all country. That was good. No, you think I forget that? No, I don't forget that. I come back like you want. But I say to myself, I hate them. I find good way to get even with them. Yeah. So you come back here. You work. Yeah, you work. Give me money for to save. That'd be good. I take money. He did good. You never find that money. You hear? You never, never find it. When I die, you have nothing. That'd be a good joke on you. I pay you back for what you do to me. You think you win, huh? You do.
Paula, Paula, quick. Papa get very sick. Look at face. Oh, Paula. Paula.
Too late, Mother. He's dead.
Oh.
The sudden death of her husband and the worry over the apparent loss of the family fortune was a little too much for Mrs. Kaminsky, and she suffered a nervous breakdown and was removed to a hospital. When she recovered, she decided she must begin the almost hopeless task of the searching for the family fortune. A very good friend, Boleslav Borochecki, volunteered his services to help in the hunt. They tapped, scraped, and searched every inch of wall and floor space in the modest little home. And when the search ended...
We've got to go on looking, Boleslav. We've got to find the money. Oh, what has become of Paula and me?
I was hoping you might ask that question, Clara. For I'm the man that has to answer, yeah? Clara, I've loved you ever since I first met you coming over on the boat 20 years ago. I've loved and admired you all these years. I couldn't speak. But now Stanislav is dead and buried. And you and Paula are all alone. So I have plenty of money, a good business, and I can give you both everything you've always wanted, yeah?
Boleslav, I am surprised. You should at least have some respect for the dead. I am still in mourning, and this was his house. I must not speak of such things yet.
Oh, that is foolish, old-fashioned talk, Clara. If you had loved him, that would have been different, but you know as well...
Mother, Mr. Borochecki,
Paula.
Quick, he found something.
What?
Mother, Mr. Borochecki, Jan thinks he found where the money's buried.
What?
Where, Paula, where?
Oh, quick, tell me, Paula. I will go and look for it.
It's down in the cellar, yeah. Over near the right-hand side, close to the wall.
Yeah?
Jan thinks there's one part of the concrete floor that looks very much as if it had been drawn up once and relayed.
Oh, yeah?
Jan's digging there now.
Oh, that is wonderful. Go, go, please, Paula, slow, and help Jan. Maybe we can dig up the money.
Right away, quick, Clara. Come along and watch us. Who knows? Maybe in a few minutes we'll have your money for you.
Yes,
come on, Paula.
Right away.
Come on,
stop,
hurry up,
Paula.
Run. But be careful. Don't fall on these stairs here now. Take it easy. All right, easy. Ah, that's it. Yes. Jan. You think you find a hiding place for the money, eh?
Yeah.
Here, Paula, take my coat. I get this stick with you and help you on.
All right, Mr. Borochecki.
Now, take it easy. Yeah.
Wait, Jan. Huh? I think you've hit something. Sounded like metal. Steel box, maybe.
Wait, John. I get the shovel and clear away all these loose pieces, and maybe we find what we're looking for, yes?
There.
Yeah, we got something. Look down there. It's part of a tin box. It's carrying on the floor, by God.
Yes, sir. See, Clara. He finds your money now, all right. Here, wait. I'll loosen it up just a little bit.
Yep, it's coming. I almost got it. Yep. A little bit more. There we are.
It seems like it's empty.
Check it, Mr. Bureau, check it. See if there's anything in it.
I don't hear anything inside. Maybe old Stanislaus play another bad trick on us, huh?
No, don't talk that way. Open it, up. See from what is in from inside.
Yes, we're going to take over it, Mr. Bureau.
Okay, here we go. The handkerchief was folded up. Here, wait, now I feel something. Look. Wrapped up in a folded handkerchief, this little envelope, it says, the keys.
Keys? Keys? What keys? Open the envelope. Show me those keys.
Ah, the keys. Yeah, those little keys. Like for to open up a cash box, huh?
Cash box? We haven't got a cash box.
Wait, we start digging again. Maybe Stanislav buried the cash box under this floor, too.
No, Jan, no. I know what the keys are for now, by God. These keys are just like the ones I have at the bank for to open safe deposit boxes. Sure, that'd be the thing. We take these keys to bank and find what box they fit. Open up and I bet we find Clara's money.
But it wasn't as easy as all that. The good friend Boleslaw drove Clara Kreminsky and her daughter to every bank in the Detroit area and tried all the boxes, but without success. Mrs. Kreminsky decided to try just once more in Windsor, Canada, just across the Detroit River. They were ushered into one of the officials of the bank, and...
I have gone over our records for the past 10 years, Mrs. Kreminsky, but I don't find your husband's name among those who rented safe deposit boxes here.
In Detroit, the gentleman also tried the keys we found to see if they would open any boxes.
You think perhaps your husband may have rented boxes under an assumed name?
Sure, sure, Mr. Zhu. Stanislav was a very funny fellow. He's pretty mean, too. He do that.
That being the case, perhaps we can take your keys and try them. Will you let me see them, please?
Here they are, sir.
Well, they look familiar. Serial letters indeed. That's how we begin our numbers. MB81773. This is key definitely belongs to a box, this bank. Wait, I'll check through our list of box holders and tell you whose name is listed as the renter of that box. Hey, here we are. That box is registered in the name of Winklaus C. Felovici, Detroit. Is that name familiar?
No. I don't know anyone but that name.
Well, we'll try your keys and see if they fit.
Yes, yes.
Oh, pardon me just a minute or two. I'll be right back. We have tried the keys and opened both the boxes. Mrs. Kreminsky, there is no doubt that your husband rented them under an assumed name.
Oh.
One box contains two bank books, both in your husband's name, showing deposits from two branch banks here in Windsor.
There are also some
bonds bearing his name. The second box contains two bank books in his name covering deposits in Detroit Bank. There is a sum in cash amounting to $1,800. Totaling everything, I should say the two boxes represent an inheritance of $20,000.
$20,000?
So your treasure hunt is at an end, Mrs. Kreminsky.
Mrs. Kreminsky had to file a legal suit to recover the fortune, and the judge quickly decided in her favor. Naturally, Paula began her cherished career by studying for the concert stage. They do say Mrs. Kreminsky will entrust her future to the kindly Boleslaw Burecheki, and everybody is happy except perhaps the unhappy ghost of Stanislaus, who couldn't hide his money from the wife he hated. You have just heard the front page drama, The Fugitive Fortune, an original radio drama based upon a news story entitled Couldn't Hide His Money from the Wife He Hated, which is to be found in next Sunday's issue of the American Weekly. This is but one of the many worthwhile stories, articles, and other excellent features that make up every issue of the American Weekly, the magazine with the greatest circulation in the world that comes to you each week as part of your Hearst Sunday newspaper.